Welcome to the Hospitality Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Turk. Join me as we dive into the personal stories of some of the world's best hospitality professionals. We follow the journey of their ups, downs, and wild turns to find out what it truly takes to make it in the amazing world of hospitality. Welcome to another episode of the Hospitality Mentor Podcast. And today I've got a new friend. I've got Ryan Rivett, the president and CEO of My Place Hotels of America. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Steve, thanks for having me on, man. It's great to be here.
Well, Ryan, we always jump in with the first question. What was your very first job in hospitality?
Very first job in hospitality goes back to working at a fishing lodge that my grandfather owned. And I was 12, 13 years old at that time and got to experience doing all the small tasks that nobody else wanted to do, sweeping and mopping, the cleaning boats and fish and doing dishes. And it was a pretty cool experience because it's a relatively small setting. There's maybe 15 to 20 guests there at any given time, but it's full service and pretty high end clientele. So as a young guy, you get to really experience the things they like and don't like, some of the things you probably shouldn't see as a kid, and some of the stuff that teaches you about where you want to go as opposed to doing dishes and sweeping floors.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're pretty young, 12 and 13, working in that kind of place. Were you working with adults or was it just kind of like family owned that you knew everybody? What was it like?
No, it was all hired people from the manager and the chef to the fishing guides and everybody else. And my grandfather was there and lived on the island during the summer. And so I stayed with him and he oversaw, you know, my workload, but he was not an easy guy to work for either. So it was perfect. I learned a lot from it.
So you're doing that. How long are you doing that? Just as a kid? Are you doing that through high school? Like what's the journey from there?
Yeah, I did. I spent at least 6 weeks of every summer up there from probably that 12 to 13 age up through college. And then after college, it was time to have a job that lasted all 12 months of the year. So
what was the name of the place that your grandfather had?
Quest Alaska Lodges. It was in Sitka, Alaska. So neat place.
And is that where you're from, or that you were just up there staying with your grandfather?
No, it was just a summer thing, fishing and Alaska fishing in particular has been part of my upcoming for my entire life. And so as it seems we do when we're in the hospitality business, when you find something you really like to do, you turn it into a business. And that's what it ended up being. It was, we spent a lot of time in the summers in Alaska fishing and there was an opportunity that came up to buy this place and turned it into a business. And so it's been operating up there ever since.
That's amazing. So walk me through this journey here. Cause you know, I was trying to do some research on you. You've got a lot of different things that you've got going on. So what do you go to college for? Was it for hospitality? Was it something outside of it?
Yeah, no. I went for business administration with the idea, you know, I wasn't a great student coming up in elementary school, middle school, high school. I wanted to get out of there and get to work as quickly as I could. And so when I got to college, the guidance that I got from the people that I looked up to and said, what do I go to school for? I know I want to be in the hospitality business because that's what I had grown up experiencing.
Yep.
And really that's what got me excited. And so it was, the feedback that I got was go to school for business, make sure you understand how to read a financial statement, go to school. And if you got opportunities for electives or you want to take a second major, study psychology, learn people, learn how people work, learn the basics and fundamentals of it anyway. And you'll be better prepared to take on the hospitality business. And so that's what I did. I started in business and psychology, later dropped psychology to focus and finish up business so I could get out and get to work.
That was you got out. And what do? You create your own business or you join in the family business? How does that start going? Or do you join a big major brand?
So I did. I was, I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida. So started school down there and ended up moving back to South Dakota is where my family's always been from. That's where I live now. So it was moving to South Dakota to finish, did a couple of semesters in college here to finish my business degree, and started working at the same time, and came right into businesses owned by my grandfather. He's the primary, the patriarch of the family, and the one who started business 50 years ago now. And so it was kind of up to his directive to, okay, I'm here, show me what I'm supposed to learn. And I worked in everything. We're in farming, we're in aviation business, we're in the construction development, basically complete vertical integration. That's all focused on hospitality with the exception of maybe farming. But yeah, I kind of bounced around for a couple of years, all of those businesses at lower levels, just getting exposure to it, exposure to the people, to the work ethic. And I think one thing that rises to the top about that experience was understanding how to navigate a business that you're going to be perceived as, the kid, the family guy coming in and getting a job. And what was great for me for that was I recognized kind of the respect that needed to have, and the fact that I needed to make sure that I worked as hard as I could and showed everybody that I was there to work, not just to be there. So I did everything, a lot of jobs that actually could be characterized as, hey, over the next couple of years, you're going to learn what you don't want to do for the rest of your life. So
yeah,
so what I want to do.
That's a really important lesson, especially for a lot of people. And so when you're doing this, because I was going through the list, you've got all different kind of companies. Were these all family owned companies? Were these things that your family was involved in? Kind of give us like the overview of what.
Yeah. So our organization prior to my place and me starting my place, prior to that, we were really an organization of individual partnerships. My grandfather, after he sold the Super 8 Motel chain in 1993, he then really functioned as a family office. So some subsidiary service companies to service most of our related entities, and a handful of partners who were out developing, building and operating hotels. And so that's really how it operated for almost 20 years before I joined the group in 2005. And at that point, I had an opportunity to become a partner in a development group. I earned in some sweat equity into developing some apartments, and learned construction, learned development from a few of those partners who were willing to actually take me in and teach me a lot of things and allow me to ask enough questions to learn on my own from there. And so I developed some apartments, and then quickly from there moved to hotel development. I got to work alongside of those same development partners for first couple of hotels I was involved in as not necessarily a partner, but just a junior guy and taking, directive and delegation from them. And so it was a learning process. The first 5 years of my career was definitely mostly working for other people and learning, with a few opportunities for sweat equity partnership to kind of earn my way in. And that really led us to where we're at today, which is we had an idea to start a new hotel chain. My grandfather really had wanted to do that for quite a while, but just didn't have somebody around to defer to and to bring in with him. And so, as he told me, I've been wanting to do this for a while and haven't been able to get anybody else convinced, but you're here now and you don't have a choice. So that's what we're doing.
Well, I like it. I want to reverse back a little bit, because you touched on something pretty fun and good to know, is that your grandfather created Super 8, the brand. Is that what you're telling us?
Right. So he and an attorney here in Aberdeen, South Dakota, had a conversation over coffee in 1973 that led to building the first Super 8 motel. They operated it here and learned that it was working for them. And within the first year or two, organized a franchise surrounding it, built a couple more, and happened upon their first franchise sale. And it was kind of all history from there, from 1974, when the first property opened, in 1993, when Ron, my grandfather, sold the franchise system to Send In, or HFS at the time. It was all operated out of our offices here in Aberdeen, South Dakota, And we still today own the very first Super 8 motel. We operate it as a Super 8 and are
so cool.
proud to do so. So it's a nice.
Got some like history in there? Is it a little bit like museum stuff in there? Or is it all? There's no, a few pieces
in the lobby, but you know, it's business. It's all business. So we should at some point turn it into a bit more of a memorial or have something more like that.
Because for viewers, have
people that stop in to say they just wanted to see it. They had heard that it was.
So. Yeah, I'm all about that. You know, it's fun. Like behind me, I have all these like random things from the 40s, 20s, 30s, all these menus behind me from places. I just think it's cool, all that history.
I collect menus also. That's something I love to cook and love restaurants. Grew up in a family that loved going out to eat in different places when we traveled. And something that we, somewhat of a tradition we ended up picking up was collecting menus. So I've got a stack probably 2.5 feet high in a closet here at my office that I've talked about getting out and getting on display. Some of them are pretty neat looking. Others are just, hey, I remember when I went there kind of things.
I love that stuff. It's so funny that we got that in common because there's not many. My wife's like, what are you doing? I was like, well, I have the opening menu from the Fontainebleau Hotel, 1954. It's behind. I got it. She's like, okay, all right.
Yeah, those are great history pieces right there.
It's just fun to see the prices and what people were eating back then. It's kind of cool to see what everyone was doing. But right. Anyhow, you got this. You got your grandfather doing big things. And sometimes that can be a little pressure, right? Like, oh, my grandfather built this and now I'm learning about hotels. So when you were learning about the hotel being built, because you did apartments, which mm-hmm. is one piece, but now you're adding a whole other component of building hotels where people are in it and going, and it's not just living there. What was the difference for you between the two?
I think, you know, in the development process and in the conceptualization and early implementation process, the difference between the apartments and the hotels is you're constantly trying to think about a changing dynamic of people with the hotels. And it's challenging. There's a fine line between staying focused on the core competencies and concept of whatever brand it is that you're building or whatever location you're building in, and then switching to the other side of letting your mind wander and saying, okay, well, what if I have this type of person? I need to have this, and this type of guest, I need to have this, and this type of guest. And so I think a lot of times people get caught into that cycle of perpetual motion of, you know, trying to be everything for everyone. In an apartment, it's pretty straightforward. You give them basic space and let them outfit it the way they want. In a hotel, you're trying to think ahead of a changing demographic and changing dynamic of people. And so I think that was the biggest thing for me. It really leveled up the amount of brain power it's required to put a project mm-hmm. together. And then getting into operations, of course, it just continues that way. Trying to hear every piece of feedback that you can, trying to, you know, stay engaged in day-to-day operations without micromanaging because you want to know how it's working and what changes you need to make. Whereas in the apartment business, you sort of want to hear from them when it's time to rent and don't want to hear from them after
yeah, you're
that, right? So, yeah. You know, fundamentally they're similar businesses because in all cases you're dealing with somebody's home. But the dynamics are so much different that it really was just a significant level up in thought process and orientation. And it was exciting, quite frankly. I think that was the best part about it was, and still continues to be that, is that you're walking into years ahead of changing dynamics in your business and a lot of effort and focus on people to make sure that you address those really well.
Yep. And when you were learning about the hotels, were you already seeing things like, because you weren't in charge at that time, were you seeing things like, man, I wish we could kind of push it this way, but you couldn't vocalize it? Or were you being kind of vocal in what you were doing? Or just what was that dynamic like?
I think
you had a good history of working in them.
Yeah, one of the kind of founding principles of my place when we started it was the realization and the experience that Ron and some of the partners had after going from being franchisor to then becoming franchisee. Obviously it's anybody who's owned and sold a house or owned a business and sold it, you walk back into that business or you walk back into that house and see what the next person's done with it, and you immediately, whether right, wrong, or indifferent, you criticize, you know, what you see. It's not the way I did it, so you know
it's wrong.
So it's not right. And I think that existed for that entire period of time after Super 8, but before my place, where every other branded hotel that we developed and built, well, by and large, we were happy and very successful with them over that time. You just have that instinct or that perception towards them in that criticism because it's not what you created. And I think that's maybe a cultural element of our company and in many ways, you know, Midwestern people, we sort of build and create things. And, you know, when you live in a state with a population density of one person per 10 square miles, you a little bit got to figure it out on your own in some things. And so I think that was the case. And so when I walked into the business, that perception was already in place. And I learned that, picked it up right away of, you know, what could we do different? Always asking the question, why do we do this and how do we make it better? How do we build a better mousetrap or make more profitability out of it, whatever the context may be. And so I'll say I acquired that and then very quickly learned what it meant to me in beginning to build hotels alongside of other developers and be engaged in that process and then transition into beginning to build the first few My Places and build a chain of hotels that it's become.
All right, so let's talk about that because I always like the origin story here. So, and the listeners do too. Like, how did this come about? Like, in my head, you're in Aberdeen, South Dakota at a bar with your grandfather. It's on the back of a napkin, or was it not even close to that? And kind of how did it come?
Close. Actually, we were all together at Thanksgiving and after Thanksgiving dinner, I don't know, kids are running around doing their thing. People are playing board games. Generally, that meant that Ron and I ended up sitting in his office talking about business, which was great. That's what you do when you get together. That's the dinner table talk, the after dinner talk, all of the above. And so that was the conversation we were having. I was recapping for him some things that I had been working on, some ideas that I had, and that always transitioned into his storytelling about the old days, about the current days, and comparing and contrasting all those things. And said, you know, I think we ought to do something about it. I've been thinking about it for a while, and you know, you're here, you've got capacity to take on more. You just started your career, so let's do something. So his directive to me was, let's start a hotel brand. And what does it look like? What should it be? Where should we start? You know, put the package together is what he said. And so that was the beginning of it. And I spent a few months after that really trying to conceptualize what we needed. And I think it was a lot of looking at the hotels that we had been building and operating, looking at the deficiencies. I went way back into archive files from Super 8 motels in the 80s and 90s to compare and contrast, you know, proportions and margins and kind of create a vision board of what I wanted to achieve. And okay, now let's see how far we can go to get there. And so over the course of several months, it developed into a concept that from a financial and physical standpoint, it all looked like it would work. And we started talking about where we should go to try it out.
So how did the name come about? Was that something you had? Because a lot of people, like, I work with logos first. Like, I need my logo so I can visualize it. Was that first? Was it last? How did that start going?
The logo came second. And through the course of developing the first project, in fact, the first set of plans, just say extended stay hotel on them. There's no logo or sign or anything on it. Because we deliberated over what the name was for a long time. It had a lot of lists and different notes and things on them. Put it out to family and friends and employees and partners and asked everybody, hey, what, you know, give us an idea for a name. Here's a paragraph kind of statement about what it is. And got down to the wire. I think we had 8, 10, 12 weeks left before the hotel was scheduled to open. We hadn't ordered signs yet, so we had to figure something out. And we just sat down and said, we're coming out of here with a name. And My Place came out of that. And it really gives, you know, an affectionate feel. It was something that you could embrace, and we thought maybe people would be able to embrace it, and I think they have. So after that, we had a trademark battle for a couple of years trying to get that finalized, and the logo was sort of a stand over the shoulder of a graphic designer and let him make
those things,
lines and things on a page and add colors to it. And obviously, with the colors that we have, there's a bit of a nod to to Super 8.
That's what I was going to say. I wanted you to say it before I.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's some fundamental basis for the colors and the attractive value and how they show up on any background. But there's also definitely in the shape of the logo and the color scheme gives a tip back to a prior success and something that we intend to carry forward.
I love it. So you've got the name, you said you want to do extended stay. Was that always the case? You didn't want to venture into something else, or was extended stay your goal?
Well, I think extended stay came out of the due diligence and looking at what the hotel industry needed, what was going to be, you know, most sought after. And I think at that time, what extended stay represented 6-7% of the industry supply. And we've grown so much since then, but still relatively small in terms of the total supply in the country, and so popular with the flexibility and the ability to satisfy the customer and kind of any type of stay or any dynamic of need. So that's how that came about. Now, it wouldn't be against, you know, other forms of hospitality, other segments or models, but that's the one we started with, and it's worked out really well.
I love it. And so, do you remember the opening day of the first one? Where is the first one? Was it in Aberdeen, the first one?
It wasn't. We decided to build the first one in Dickinson, North Dakota. Small town during an oil boom. Figured, hey, if we're going to learn how to do something, might as well do it somewhere there's a lot of people that need hotel rooms. And at that time there was, and it's since tapered off. But I do remember that. In fact, spent a lot of time there. We have a construction company in-house as well. And so general contractor we build for ourselves and some other clients as well. So that company was there, and so a lot of connectivity with the everyday goings on and
so good. Really, so you're building your own place.
Yeah, that was what it is. In fact, we had the FF&E subcontractor that was hired on the project ended up, I'm not sure what happened to him, but he kind of unraveled about 2 weeks before it was supposed to open and left about 15% of the job left to do. And actually myself and two other guys from the office here jumped in a truck and drove up there and spent 2 weeks on the project, finishing installing,
screwing and everything, and
putting doors and frames up and putting flooring down. And so I actually, you know, had a hand in building the first hotel.
I love it. That's going to be part of the history in the first one. When we look back in 30 years, we'll have a picture of Ryan. I hope you got some pictures of you doing all those things, man.
I don't know. Probably not ones I want anybody to see.
Well, all right. So you got the first one open. It's one thing to open one, right? Luckily, your family has been doing this for a while. How do you start to say, all right, was the plan always to grow? Are you owning all the hotels? Are you franchising them? What's the model right now?
So franchise is definitely the objective. It's how we formed the company initially, knowing that's where we were headed. And what was known from past experience and things is that we needed to build some. We needed to seed some markets to get the concept out there, get the product out there, be able to be seen and recognized and get people to want to take the leap into joining us. And so we set about, we opened the first property in February of 2012. We started properties number 2 and 3 in mid-year 2012, and then 4 and 5 about late in 2013, early 2014. So in 12, 13, 14, we opened the first, I think, 9 or 10 hotels during that period of time, all owned by us. We sold our first franchise to an unrelated group in 2014, and they got going right away and opened up, and it sort of kept going from there. And we continue, our organization of related partnerships continues to build and own and operate My Places today, but our franchisees have far outweighed our related party growth. So it's been huge reward as we've grown from, you know, that first one in 2012 to now 114 franchises. We've got 70 of them open, handful more that are coming in the next few months here. And so it's just, you know, the snowball keeps getting bigger, and it's a lot of fun.
All from a Thanksgiving dinner. I love seeing this exploding. So you've got all this going on. You know, I think for a lot of people out there who've never experienced a franchise model. They're like, all right, how do you control like the standards in place? Like these, what's one thing when you own them, right? Because you know the place, you drew them out, you've been in the business. How do you ensure that the franchisees are doing what they're supposed to and not messing up that brand you created?
Well, I think that's something that in research and observation that I've had, a lot of people have gone into it and made the mistake of assuming people won't take something you created and screw it up if you let them, right? So we recognize that that would be pretty easy to do. And so we set out from the very beginning to put the infrastructure and the different mechanisms in place to allow us to control the growth, to be able to train and monitor the properties that were out there. And of course, first few years, it's relatively small. It's pretty easy to grasp. As it's gotten to where it is today, it's a bigger challenge, and scaling it has been remarkably rewarding. But, you know, we put into place right away quarterly quality inspections. Somebody from My Place Corporate is in every one of the hotels every 3 months. We put in place right away a training team. And so, you know, we had the foresight, I think, or maybe just the intelligence to look back at what worked previously, what we were missing as developers and operators building for the other brands that we were building for in the period just before this. And so looking at all those things and saying, hey, we've designed this to make sense to us. We've designed it to be, you know, replicated by others. What did we need? What do we need? And so oftentimes people, franchisees that enter our system, make the comment or have the recognition that as a franchisor, we operate more like a management company than we do a franchisor in the manner in which we provide the support. And so I think that's really focusing on the practical application of supporting a franchise system rather than focusing just on the aesthetic or just on the franchise development, but knowing that we've got, you know, the infrastructure to behind it, that, hey, we're not just going to sell the franchise and then, you know, push the rooms your way. We want you to continue to grow and develop. And, you know, My Places are generally smaller than everybody else. We're 64 units as a typical prototype. And so you got to build a few of them because it's easy to do, you know, that's part of the idea too. Why put 80 to 120 rooms in one location when you can have a lot more quick diversity by spreading it out? It takes a little work to get it going, but once you do, you can't stop.
So, all right, I'm in Miami Beach here. That's where my offices are in Miami. I want to open up a My Place hotel. What happens? What do I need to do? I apply. I have to have a certain amount of money. Do you reject people a lot? Is there a certain piece of land? Is there a building? What do they need to do?
Yeah, of course, there's a typical application process, and we want to make sure that from our perspective, you know, this model, this concept and things are right for the business plan that any franchisee is trying to execute on. And of course, we want to make sure through building an initial relationship that we're the right people for them. And so I think that part of it is all pretty standard, nothing out of the ordinary. We do jump in right away looking at markets and looking at locations within the market. I think some of the, you know, typical or stereotypical locations for extended stay hotels, often they're off the beaten path or kind of out back, which works for some. Our focus has always been on prominent real estate inside of established hotel markets. Now, there's some caveats to that, but, you know, that's generally the focus. You need a fair amount of money to get it done. And I think that, you know, in that regard and the application process, we're really not any different than anybody else.
So now it's interesting. You started 2012. Airbnb was kind of just starting around that time. 2016, 2018 is kind of when it started blowing out.
Right.
Now you're starting to see hotels get into extended stay as well, other hotel groups, right? It's kind of become like the hot thing.
Yeah.
Some brands coming out. How are you seeing that kind of change what you're doing?
I don't think it's changing what we're doing. We're well enough established at this point, and the runway ahead of us is pretty clear and open. And so we're not changing anything we're doing. It is interesting to see that the segment develop around us a little bit. There's been relatively few participants in it over the over these initial years. And so, you know, you're definitely constantly watching what everybody else is doing and seeing how that's going to fit above, below, beside where we fit into the marketplaces. I think, you know, Airbnb and the other, you know, short-term housing rentals and things haven't really been impactful on us at this point, probably primarily because, you know, there's the biggest saturation of those is in, you know, urban markets or in or urban cores. And that's not where a lot of our properties are. We're not that type of hotel. And so fortunately that hasn't been impacting on us, at least not to a noticeable degree. Now, all the new product that's coming in, new brands and things are, like I said, they're exciting to watch. It's interesting to see some things that when a new concept is launched and you look through it and you say, oh yeah, I remember thinking that would work too. I've learned that lesson good luck with that. And so I think that's been reassuring as well, is that, you know, we see some of those same elements that we've had to learn and grow out of or grow through that are clearly visible in some of the new product out there. And so it'll be interesting to watch it develop. And I'm sure there'll be opportunities for us to capitalize on inside of that growth. Competition's a good thing. Yep. It's not anything to run away from, for sure.
No, and I like the aesthetic of what you're creating. It says a unique look. And if you're not driving, make sure to pause this. Check out myplacehotels.com. You can see all the different cities they're in. They've got a great website. And something that caught my eye was that you have a rewards program. Was that something you thought about beforehand? Because it seems like that's very powerful now, especially as you're growing. Is that something you had thought about?
It was not a major part of the early concept or early business plannings. I think I probably undervalued it longer than I should have. We started the rewards program in mid-year of 2019. We started development on it in 2017, and we had a great opportunity. Timing came together. In 2017, we were starting to get to, I think we were, you know, 40 some properties at that time. And so just big enough to where it might make sense to start administering some sort of rewards program. And at the same time, a person who had worked for Super 8, she started, I think, in maybe 86 or 7 in and working primarily in the rewards program, continued through with HFS and then Cendant and then Wyndham. And actually, their offices here in Aberdeen closed in 2016. And I got connected with her. I'd known her all my life. Got connected with her and said, hey, you want to go back to work in the rewards business? And she said, yeah. So it was great. We were able to walk in as a new brand. We were able to walk a 30-year veteran in hotel rewards in to help us develop the program. My Place Stay Rewarded has been a really great success for us. We've got, I think we're approaching around 300,000 active members in the rewards program today. We've been able to push it through and get, you know, team members at the hotel level on board with it. And they're doing a fantastic job with getting the word out to people, with servicing the loyalty guests. And, you know, at last look, we were somewhere around 55% of our reservations across the chain are Stay Rewarded members. So huge reward for us, in that we know more about the guests that we're serving when they participate in the rewards program. Great rewards for the guests. They're, you know, cash-based gift card type rewards are the primary ones that people are redeeming. And the, building the infrastructure wasn't necessarily easy, but it's worked out really well.
And so are you using that data to actually make things better for the guests? Or is it just kind of like, hey, you got their emails and info and you send them stuff?
For sure. We look at different elements of service in the rooms, different elements of service at the property level, I should say, not just in the rooms, and compare that with what we're seeing guests of those demographics or from those areas of the country comment most about on different platforms and social media. And what's great about it is you can cross-reference all of the social media and search engine optimization measures and different digital marketing elements of review and response with the demographic information you learn from the loyalty program guests, and better gauge what certain hotels that do most business with, you know, these five feeder cities or things like that. It's not something that I personally work in too deeply, but I always love getting involved in those conversations with the loyalty team and learning what they're learning and what their recommendations are on implementation.
Yeah, especially with AI stuff now. So like everything's getting faster. You can take all this big data and like pump it out and like make decisions quickly. It's been interesting to see what I do with big hotels. It's like, wow, I can take all this reviews for years and years and actually do something with them.
Right. Cool. Yeah. And that's the thing. I think, you know, with all the technology that we've got around us, you can have all the information in the world, but if you don't have a way to process that data and actually do something with it, it's sort of worthless. And so that, I think that's the biggest area where AI is beginning to impact our business is being able to aggregate and analyze data so much more quickly by, you know, much more simple queries. So
I love that you're doing it, because I talked to a lot of big companies and they're still not using it. So you're already ahead of many. So
I'd love to be as big as our biggest competitors today, but at the same time, you know, one of the greatest things about the size and scale that we are right now and the stage of growth we are right now is that we're nimble. We can make changes in a meaningful way pretty quickly. And so when we listen, we hear what people have to say, we can turn around and implement changes. That doesn't mean we always do, because if you're constantly changing, you really can't direction. But yeah, we've seen that in play and be very effective for everyone.
Very cool. Well, I'm not asking for your five-year business plan, but what are you most excited about for the next 12 months, 24 months? What are you most excited about yourself?
You know, I think franchise growth has been the biggest focus for me, and that's what I'm most excited about. I think, you know, had a lot of momentum going into 2020, kept that momentum through 2020, 21, and 22, began to be a little bit slow in terms of development with some people holding off because of some circumstances that were in play. And in 23, that really began to ramp back up. And so after seeing, you know, what a hurdle looks like in terms of franchise growth in the last couple of years, seeing that take back off again, seeing new groups and new demographics of franchisees come into our system because of, you know, shifting dynamics of our economy and the hotel industry and the different, then, you know, new interest in the extended stay segment has been a ton of fun. So we've got a lot ahead of us in the next 12 months. Next 24, 36 is great. I think we're gonna continue to see the scaling of the company happen incrementally and the teams grow. And so it's kind of all exciting, but you know, my daily focus is heaviest in the franchise development side of the business. So I get most juiced up about that.
Yeah, man, close those deals. I love seeing the growth that you guys have had here, especially over the last couple of years. I see you guys have been growing very quickly. So, look, Ryan, we've taken up a lot of your time here, but one last question for you. So, if you were coming out of college today, young Ryan's walking into your office, what advice do you have for him if he's starting today? Because it's very different from when you started.
Oh, boy, that's a good one. I think, you know, some input that I got when I was in college and high school, I can't quite remember when, but I've continued to have a focus on it today and refer back to early memories about it, is to listen. Just make sure you're always listening. I think a lot of people jump into a professional setting, jump into the first part of their career, and they're really eager to show people how hard they can work and how smart they are and how confident they are in the business that they're going into. And a lot of times that overshadows the simple aspect of just walking into a room and sitting down and listening. Listen and interpret and find the things that work the best for you. Don't be too in a hurry to get to any one place. Observe and listen and see what gets you excited, what keeps you the most interested, and then focus on those things, because ultimately that's what takes you where you want to go as quickly as you can get there.
God, that's great advice and a good place to end our conversation. Ryan, time flew by here. I could have kept talking to you.
Sure.
But make sure, listeners, check out My Place Hotels. He's building something special in the extended stay market. And if somebody wants to get in touch with you, Ryan, what's the best way they can do that?
MyPlaceHotels.com is a great place to start.
All right, Ryan, thank you for joining us. This podcast is brought to you by Biscayne Coffee. Biscayne Coffee was founded with a giving spirit and a big idea to enjoy delicious coffee roasted in Miami while helping save Biscayne Bay and the animals that live there. As a former food and beverage director, I can assure you these are some of the best quality beans on the planet. 10% of every coffee sold is donated to nonprofits to help preserve Biscayne Bay for all to enjoy. Visit BiscayneCoffee.com today and use promo code MENTOR at checkout to save 10% on your first order. Drink good coffee and create a good outcome.